Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
We're doing a couple of episodes here where we're really getting into the idea of genetic memory, which is the snazzier way of looking at it. If you want to get really technical, we are going to be talking about epigenetics. Don't be scared off by that. I understand the temptation to be scared off by it because I've written about epigenetics before, and it can be, in a way, a very dense topic because you are getting down to how the genome corresponds to the phenotype, how the contents of our genes is expressed. The phenotype is the expression of our genes. So we can get a bit technical when you get into that. But ultimately, we are talking about how the secrets written in our cells, how those materialize as the person we are, both in terms of our body and in terms of our mind. And we ultimately really get into the conversation about nature and nurture concerning animals and humans. So we're splitting it up. We have this first episode about the animals. It's often a little easier to look at at something as complex as this with the animals first, and certainly that's where most of the experiments are taking place. And then after that, we'll get into the human realm and the various human ramifications when we complicate things with all of our human baggage.
Yeah, the idea here is we want to recast our ideas about evolution and also disease and how we can game phenotypes, the expression of these genes, for the better, really. And in order to really get into this discussion, we have to talk about this guy named Jean-Baptiste Lamarck, or Jean Baptiste Lamarck.
Yeah, 18th century French scientist and naturalist. And he had some very interesting ideas about how animals change over time, essentially about evolution. And his most cited example is that of the giraffes. He argued that, okay, you look at a giraffe. Why does a giraffe have a long neck? Well, Darwin's answer would be that there are all these various mutations over time, and some of those mutations involved longer necks. And since the longer necks were a better survival adaptation, those are the ones that survived and flourished. While the mutations with the shorter necks didn't pan out so well.
Right. So longer neck naturally selected for taking a long time to be selected, right?
Right.
We're not just talking about one or two generations.
Lamarck's idea, though, is that you have this giraffe. Imagine this short-necked giraffe, and he looks up, or she looks up at the, we'll call her Cindy, looks up at the fruit in the tree.
Cindy.
Yeah, Cindy. Okay. Cindy, since Cindy's and her cohorts have already eaten all the low-hanging fruit, they want the high-hanging fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want to reach up higher. So she's straining her neck. She's looking up there. I want to eat those top fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cindy's offspring have the same desire. And the offspring after that, there's this need to reach the higher-hanging fruit from generation to generation. And from generation to generation, the neck longens. Is that,
yep.
is that the verb longens?
It lengthens.
Lengthens. It lengthens.
What yes.
A, didn't have enough coffee this morning. Longens.
So already I'm thinking about Cindy from Brady Bunch.
Okay.
Lisping yeah. her desires to reach the foliage.
Her neck lengthening.
Right. And then her offspring longening. All lisping their desire to reach the foliage too and getting there, because here's Lamarck's deal. In his view, some giraffes manage to stretch their necks over the course of their lifetime, giving them an advantage over other giraffes. Which then what we're talking about is passing on to their children. This is a really quick acquisition of traits here. And this is really what the story comes down to, acquiring traits versus genetic mutations. Now, was Lamarck right when he was talking about these giraffes?
Well, for a while, no.
He was dead wrong in this
yeah.
example.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty much, this was considered the archaic idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, not archaic, but an outdated idea that was far outperformed by Darwin's theory of evolution. So Darwin's theory becomes the predominant way that we make sense of these changes over time.
But it does turn out that Lamarck was onto something, and his theory was dismissed for a long time as malarkey. You like how I did that? Lamarck, mm-hmm. malarkey?
Yeah, Lamarck and malarkey.
Yeah. Yeah. But when epigenetics really came onto the scene in the 70s, and more lately in the last 10 years, people have been looking at Lamarckian evolution again, because our better understanding of epigenetics makes what he was talking about possible.
So epigenetics. Okay, you have genetics. With the genome, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this thing called epigenetics, which literally means in addition to genetics. And this exists, and these changes exist between the genome and the phenotype. Now, I like to think of this in terms of video games. It works for me. It'll work for some of you guys. Think of a flight simulator, okay? You put, load a flight simulator up on the computer, right? And you can go in there and you pretend to fly this airplane. Now, if you go in there, you go into the settings for this particular game, you can alter the realism of the flight experience, okay? So think of it this way. The game engine, the game itself, this is the genome.
Mm-hmm.
Your actual game playing experience is the phenotype.
Mm-hmm. The expression.
Right. And in between there, you have epigenetics. You have the settings menu. Where you can click on or click off all these little things. Like, you don't want planes to be able to collide in midair. You don't want to ever run out of fuel. You want, unlimited ammo, whatever. You can adjust those settings to have anywhere between a highly realistic flight simulation and an arcade shoot 'em up,
mm-hmm.
depending on how those settings are gamed. And so with an organism, you see a very similar thing. You have the genome,
mm-hmm.
which says this is what the organism is going to be like. This is what the phenotype is going to be. This is what the game experience that we live every day is going to consist of. And then you have all these various settings in between, these ways, these epigenetic changes that affect the way that the genes are expressed.
That's right, because at the heart of epigenetics is really the study of these changes in gene activity that don't involve alterations to the genetic code, right? But they still get passed down to at least one successive generation. So again, think about the flight simulator that you just talked about, and think about, let's think about the genome as the hardware and the epigenome as the software.
Right.
Okay, so you can load Windows if you want on your Mac. Okay, think about it that way. So think now about this epigenome, that extracellular material that is sitting on top of the genome. And it's these epigenetic marks or proteins that tell your genes to switch on or off. And it's through epigenetic marks that environmental factors like diet, stress, and prenatal nutrition can make an imprint on those genes that are passed on from one generation to the next. So we're talking about this because this is really amazing stuff, because what you can do is you could, you can impact your future offspring in a very significant way without changing your own DNA.
Yeah, and we essentially see Lamarckian evolution return in this, or some semblance of the idea, only we call it transgenerational epigenetic inheritance. So it's the settings that end up being put in place in one generation, passing on to subsequent generations. So it's like, you know, a father had the realism settings on his flight simulator set to about 50%. And then that same, those same settings pass on to the offspring, even if, you know, they're in a more arcade culture. I'm kind of stretching the metaphor, but I think you get what I'm saying.
All right. So you're probably saying, well, how in the world does this happen anyway? What is the mechanism for delivering these changes? And that is something called DNA methylation. Okay. So that's how you game gene expression, the phenotype, how a gene is expressed, turned on or off in an epigenome. So it takes only the addition of a methyl group to change an epigenome, and a methyl group is a basic unit in organic chemistry. We're talking one carbon atom attached to three hydrogen atoms. And when a methyl group attached to a specific spot on a gene, this is what we call DNA methylation, and it changes that gene's expression, turning it on and off, dampening it, making it louder. The choices are all there, right? So think of methylation as chemical bundles that enzymes hitch a ride to DNA on, and then they have the ability to manipulate genes. You with me here?
I'm with you.
All right. You guys out there with us? And the methylation patterns can be affected by, again, external environment, and then get passed on to offspring because they are maintained through cell division.
Yeah, they can change drastically in the course of a lifetime, but they can also, as we'll discuss, they can be set permanently during embryo development. So it depends on various factors and that affect the distribution of methyl groups.
So we have an example here of one sort of DNA methylation in process in nature, and this is with mice. This is in a 2003 Duke University study by oncologist Randy Jertl and one of his postdoc students, Robert Waterland. They tinkered with epigenetics using mice with a uniquely regulated Agouti gene. Okay, so this Agouti gene gives mice yellow coats and propensity for obesity and diabetes when expressed continuously.
Yeah.
So what did they do to these mice? Well, they gave them a, they gave one group of them a diet rich in vitamin B. So we're talking about folic acid and B12. Another group they did nothing to. What they found is that the vitamin B acted as methyl donors. They caused methyl groups to attach more frequently to that Agouti gene, essentially dampening it, turning it off, altering its expression. So without even messing with the DNA, what happened is that those mice with the Agouti gene produced healthy offspring that had brown coats, they were normal weight, and they were not prone to diabetes just with this one aspect of nutrition.
Hmm. There's another really cool example that is often cited involving water fleas. In a predator-heavy environment, the creatures develop these large defensive spines on their bodies, all right, because the world has become dangerous, so they load up, you know, they develop these spikes. It's a harsh world, so they grow the weapons they need to defend themselves. And then the trait will pass on to the offspring, even if those offspring are raised in a predator-free setting. So it's another example of, to personify evolution a bit here and personify genetic expression, the water flea's body is saying, all right, it's a bad world. Let's grow these spines, and then the offspring is going to be born into what can only be presumed to be a bad environment as well. So it better have the spines right out of the gate.
Yeah. So I mean, if Lamarck was alive today, he would say, "Who's laughing now?" Right.
Yeah.
You know, is correct in some sense. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we are going to talk about some very cool examples of this in roundworms and mice and rats.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astepro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can get Astepro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Okay, we're back. We're talking about epigenetics. We're talking about gene expression. In a large sense, we're talking about nature and nurture and how these different genetic factors and different environmental factors affect who and what an organism happens to be in life. So we're looking at animals in this episode. In the next episode, we'll get into humans. We're talking about a lot of the different organisms that we experiment on and that we analyze and attempt to understand epigenetics better. And this brings us, of course, to the roundworm.
Yeah, these roundworms are of great interest to researchers because it turns out that they have a built-in immunity to viruses, or rather they can cultivate this built-in immunity. So researchers at Columbia University found that these roundworms were able to develop a resistance to a virus, and then they were able to pass along that immunity for successive generations. According to an IO9 article, they do this through RNA interference, or RNAi. And this process is used by cells to mute certain genes and is often used to beat back viruses and other threats to the genome. This is really cool. This is like a defense system right here sitting outside your genome. RNAi destroys messenger RNA, or mRNA, which is really important here because that's what's needed to communicate with various genes. So without their mRNA, genes basically shut down and become inactive.
Yeah, and it was particularly interesting, this study, 2011 Columbia University study, because they set it up so that the roundworms couldn't gain immunity in the Darwinian fashion. Like they it was Lamarck or nothing. Mm-hmm. If this was going to happen, and they did, and they actually observed this transgenerational process.
So what's really cool here is that the researchers found that even 100 generations after the initial infection, the roundworms still carry the immunity acquired by their distant ancestor.
Yeah, 100 generations. Now, granted, 100 generations is a little different in a roundworm than in a human, but still, you can definitely see the survival advantage in ensuring that subsequent generations benefit from the same protection against a viral enemy that's still out there.
Well, and you can also see why researchers would be chomping at the bit to study this more, because how could you game this for humans, right?
Right.
What sort of defense system could we create for ourselves if possible?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, that leads to more tinkering there. And speaking of tinkering and studies, experiments, we will have to, of course, go back to mice.
So, yeah, there was a Tufts University School of Medicine study in 2009, and what they did is they took some mice that they genetically engineered to have memory problems, and then they raised them in an enriched environment. So
mm-hmm.
this is an environment full of toys and exercise, social interaction, so like working at Google or something for these poor mice. And they did this for 2 weeks during the adolescence for these animals, and they found that the animals' memory improved. And granted, this is expected to a certain degree because we know that enrichment has been shown to boost brain function.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you want to enrich young children. You want to enrich the lives of indoor pets. I mean, it's what enrichment is about.
That's why we seek out knowledge, as we're doing right now, right?
Yeah.
But what they found specifically is that the memory gene here that carried the mutation is called RASGRF. Those are the genes that regulate a signaling pathway that's involved in brain cell communication. So that's what was improved here. But the coolest thing is that the next generation,
even though they had
this mutated gene, they had better memory. So again, what we saw here is that DNA methylation process occurring, dampening the gene mm-hmm. for the next generation.
So we're not going to keep a running score for the nature versus nurture battle, but this one would certainly be a victory for nurture.
So, yeah, Tufts University neuroscientist Larry Feig had said that a striking feature of the study is that enrichment took place during pre-adolescence, months before the mice were even fertile, yet the effect reached into the next generation. So that was surprising, and we'll talk a bit about that more with humans.
Right.
But we know that when an organism is going through its prenatal period, that what the mother does can affect it. But what this is telling us here is that even before the mice were able to reproduce, that was affecting the genes of their eventual offspring.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, again, when you strip down all of our human expectations of life and get down to the basic genetic mission of any organism, to spread its genes mm-hmm. and pass it on to the offspring. Like, right out of the gate, that is what it is here on Earth to do.
So we look at another aspect here of memory, and this is called long-term potentiation. And again, we look at it in mice, and Larry Feig's team did a secondary study on this. The same research group looked at this. They wanted to look at LPT, long-term potentiation. LPT strengthens communication between neurons, and it increases memory. So again, they had mice with a genetically faulty LPT expression.
Mm-hmm.
And this LPT was essentially fixed, again, when they were put in an enriched environment. So, of course, what do we see happen with offspring?
They turned out better. Even, and this is the crazy part, the pups demonstrated this same improved mental process even when they were raised by memory-deficient mice that had never had any of these enrichment benefits. So in this, you kind of see a little bit of the victory, maybe not of nature, but of nurtured nature. So a little bit of both.
Yeah. You're right. Both of them are definitely entangled here.
Yeah.
But again, the big news here is that that this gene was switched off.
It
was gained.
We fixed it in one generation through enrichment. And then bad parenting in the next generation didn't just automatically turn it off.
Yeah.
So it shows that it's a little more complicated than that and also a little more foolproof.
Now these are all touchy-feely examples, right, because we're improving things.
Yes.
What if you're a researcher and you want to see the opposite? You want to see what happens when you have rats that are abused, that are raised by stressed mothers that neglect and physically abuse their offspring. What will those offspring show in their epigenetic modifications?
Well, sadly, it showed that the abused mice grew to be poor mothers as well and appeared to pass down the same epigenetic changes to their offspring, which, you know, closely mirrors sort of the expected cycles that one sees, even in humans.
Yeah, and the twist here, too, is that the offspring of the abusive mothers was then raised by healthy mothers. And although that did help with some of their behavior, it did not dampen the expression of that behavior as the other DNA methylation did.
Right.
In the other scene that we saw with mice. So it helped, but it did not fix it.
Yeah. And it again underlines that we're talking about a complex interaction of nurture and nature, that it's not just, oh, well, nature's going to win out in this case and nurture's going to win out in the other. Epigenetics is a little more involved.
And I think that, you know, that's the idea that you carry away from this, is that it's not just one or the other. It's not just nature versus nurture. It is definitely a nuance of both, but it's also not just Darwinian evolution versus Lamarckian evolution.
Yeah.
These also work in tandem because we're still living in a Darwinian world.
Mm-hmm.
We just have some Lamarckian expression.
Yeah, there are various ways that our genes can be expressed in the final phenotype, and a lot of that is determined by environment, by the way we're brought up, by just whatever kind of situation that our bodies are and ourselves are put into.
But of course, this is all very exciting, because what does this mean for humans when you have such stark examples in nature of the epigenome and its ability to be expressed differently in subsequent generations? What does that mean to us?
Well, there are two ways to look at it, and we'll get into more of this in the next podcast. But on one hand, it does give you the option to freak out about every little thing in life.
True.
Concerning your own upbringing, your children, your children's children, you can really begin to overanalyze every little detail. Also, as we continue to map out the epigenome, it gives us an increased ability to potentially go in there and adjust these settings. As one would the realism settings in a flight simulator, instead of leaving it purely to environmental changes.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Yeah, it's really cool is that the Human Epigenome Project, just like the Human Genome Project, they are trying to map it. Now that the Genome Project is done and the ability to do that is much more within grasp, the epigenome should be done fairly soon.
Yeah.
And the kinds of stories that will come out of that will be, I think, of a mind-blowing quality once they sort of parse through everything that they can unravel and everything that unfolds and begin to apply it to us.
Yeah, and figure out what they can turn on and what they can't turn off. I mean, who knows what's in there? Because I've read the examples of being able to like toy with chickens so that they're a little more like dinosaurs just by tinkering around with mm-hmm. various epigenetic changes. Granted, they're probably would not be able to go in and just suddenly make spines grow out of our backs, but. But we have spoken a good bit about some of the various physiological things that that humans have left behind in their evolution,
mm-hmm.
and I can't help but wonder like which of them are still there, like the whole like the spiny penis thing that we discussed.
Spikes.
Yeah, is that still on the table? I don't know.
I hope
epigenetics
not.
Will answer the question.
I hope not. So now I'm just thinking of urban chicken coops in cities with different phenotypes expressed, and
yeah.
Sort of like dinosaur chickens running around.
Yeah, little velociraptor chickens, yeah.
That's the future, folks. Wrap it up right there.
Yeah, so definitely tune in to the next episode, because that's going to be the one where we're going to talk about some of the findings involving experiments about humans, about human epigenetics, how these various environmental changes affect the expression of our genomes in the final phenotype, and we'll also do a little pondering to a little more philosophical stuff there at the end of that particular episode. So let's call the robot over here and get a little listener mail. Ooh, now this one's pretty exciting. I find it exciting. We heard from Tim. Tim writes in response to our Nutmeg episode and says, "Hi guys, my name is Tim and I come from Dutch parents. Wanted to share with you something that I grew up with. My parents and grandparents used to put this stuff in everything. I'm not sure if you can even buy it in the States. They have it sent to them from a friend. It's a mixture of nutmeg and other things. And to be honest, it's excellent. Wonderful to put in your hot chocolate or over Christmas drinks. Pick some up if you can." And he indeed sent couple of photographs so that we might describe this product. It is called, let's see, the brand is Silvo,
mm-hmm.
and it's Coic and Speculus Cruden. And its ingredients appear to be cannel, Crudenagellan.
Oh, Crudenagellan.
Newt Musket, Gimberwort, cardamom, which is maybe cardamom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And white pepper. So, which one of those was nutmeg? Newt Muscat, you think, is nutmeg?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the crazy thing about that is, and why he says that he's not even sure if that you could buy that stateside, is because that is a massive amount of nutmeg. It's like a deodorant stick full of nutmeg. And as we know, nutmeg has hallucinogenic properties when ingested in large quantities.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that stuff on the street could fetch quite a dime.
Well, you know, as we discussed...
Or should penny, because remember we talked about it, it's not really... The consensus was that it's not really worth anybody's time.
No. Not in large quantities.
Mm-mm.
In large quantities, it's a nightmare and it's awful. But, of course, in small quantities, on a regular basis, nutmeg has a number of positive health benefits.
Lovely on your hot cocoa or latte.
I've been having it on my coffee every morning, pretty much since we did that episode.
Fancy.
Because I like nutmeg, and if there's any even remote chance that I'll have a health benefit from it, then why not?
Sure.
I even had a nutmeg-infused root beer the other night, and it was great.
Did you brew the root beer yourself?
No, it was like some brand, like they have a special Bavarian nutmeg version of their root beer that you get in a big... They have it at that little market near your house, so check it out.
All right, I will.
All right, here's one from Trevor. Trevor writes in and says, "Hello! I live in on a 25-foot sailboat near downtown Seattle, more specifically Lake Union. I don't have cable or internet, and I rely on reading books and listening to your podcasts, streamed through Stitcher on my iPhone for entertainment. I've avoided cabin fever and seasonal depression thanks to the information and knowledge I've gained through your podcast. Please continue your work because it's keeping me sane and informed, most importantly, sane." That was a lovely email to get there because, or actually that was on Facebook, I think, because in my job, in our job, we're kind of shackled to the internet somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I sometimes feel like, ooh, wouldn't it be nice to be able to just really step away from the internet a bit, which I don't think I've really done in close to a decade now.
Well, Trevor is definitely living my dream. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always wanted to live, and this is going to sound weird, but on a boat in a major city so that you would have access to everything that a city provides, but you could just take off whenever. And here's a little weird thing is that I have had this fantasy in my mind for so many years that I mentally wanted to prepare myself, and I would only use a paring knife because I figured that if I ever lived in a boat and used the kitchen, I would only have one knife.
Oh, wow. You've been training for this
for years, and I didn't realize to what extent until my husband, who is always like, there's a bevy of knives. And I finally fessed up. I was like, because one day I might live on a boat and I have to get used to just this one knife.
Oh wow. I have to admit that early on I never really wanted that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally I'll read a book that has someone living on a boat, like in Sutri by Cormac McCarthy. He lives on a boat, and I was kind of attracted to that, and it made me think back, like, why do I have this sort of romantic idea about living on a boat that never goes anywhere? And it's because of that the Highlander TV show. Because in the Highlander TV show, MacLeod, whichever his first name was in that show, because it was different. Connor MacLeod? Connell MacLeod? I don't know. But he lived on a boat that was there in Paris, I think. And so he was always coming, this brooding loner with a samurai sword that lives on a boat in Paris. And I was like, that looks like the life for me.
Amsterdam, another place I would like to be boat bound. I wonder how many of you guys have these boat fantasies too. Maybe this is just particular to us.
I know I did get to go down the Thames. My wife and I, a friend of hers that she had, she knew over the internet when we traveled to London years ago, and he had a canal boat. And so we got to go down the Thames a bit on that, and that was delightful. And when we spent the night in it too, so I could see where one would really fall in love with it. Maybe not so much the chemical toilet, but
right.
Yeah, but the rest of it is fine.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Trevor, for writing in.
Well, if you guys would like to share something with us, be it about epigenetics, be it about chemical toilets on your romantic boat, or be it about nutmeg. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Tumblr. We are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on both of those. And we also have a Twitter account where we use the handle Blow the Mind. And there's a little bit of crossover. We're going to promote the show on all of those feeds. But then there's always going to be something on the Twitter that's not on the Facebook. There's going to be stuff on the Tumblr that's not used on the other website. So check them all out. They're all pretty cool. Find the one that fits your frame of mind best, and some people are more Twitter people, and then some people are more won over by the flashiness of Tumblr. So,
you make a nice Tumblr too, by the way.
I enjoy the Tumblr. I've been really digging it. So
yeah, It's very cool. You can also send us a line by emailing us at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.